I grow old, I grow old. I shall wear the bottoms of my trousers rolled. Shall I part my hair behind? Do I dare to eat a peach? I shall wear white flannel trousers and walk upon the beach. I have heard the mermaids singing, each to each. I do not think they will sing to me. I have seen them riding seaward on the waves, combing the white hair of the waves blown back, when the wind blows the water white and black. We have lingered in the chambers of the sea, by sea girls wreathed with seaweed red and brown, till human voices wake us and we drown. Of course, obviously, that is T.S. Eliot from his amazing poem, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. I love that poem. I loved that poem when I was a teen. I read it a lot, and reading it now brings back a lot of memories and feelings. I feel like I went to like a summer, I definitely went to a summer camp at the University of Virginia called the Summer Enrichment Program, and it was for smart kids. And I wouldn't say smart, just nerdy kids who wanted to go to a nerd camp instead of a camp where you like learned how to tie a rope and sail. This was a camp where you like went and took a class on like architecture and creative writing, or there was other nerdy stuff. There was like stuff for science kids. There was stuff. It was just for nerd kids. Anyway, not only was I a camper, but I also became a counselor. Loved that camp. Anyway, I remember I was part of a theater class when I was a camper there, and we did an end of camp performance where we did this like movement live performance of that poem, which I loved doing. Loved it. Anyway, I love poetry. I've been trying to get back into it, you know. I haven't written anything, but I've been reading a lot. And it reminds me, I feel like there was a real decay in poetry, you know, as it just became less and less of a thing that people were interested in reading. But then there was sort of a revival at towards the end of America One, where there were these phenomenons called insta-poets. And there were poetry, there were people who would basically put a poem as an Instagram picture. And there was one example of a poet that became a bestseller and like pretty much famous. She had millions of followers for her poetry that she would post on Instagram. And I'm sure she's a very nice person. I don't know where she is now. I'm guessing she's in the InstaPoet DBZ, living her life. But her name was Rupi Kaur. I don't know how to say her last name, Kaur. And these are the types of poems that she would write. What is stronger than the human heart, which shatters over and over and still lives? Those were her poems. It would be like poems like, I looked in the mirror and I decided that I was beautiful. Like, they were really short. I won't let go because being alone hurts more than chasing someone who's left. But if you've left, aren't I already alone and surviving it? Like, that's a real Rupi poem. Now, no offense if that's your cup of tea, but I think that that is complete garbage. I do not like this poetry. It's so bland. And I actually have a little game that we're going to play. And it's guess, see if you can guess if what I'm reading is a Rupi Kaur, I'm so sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, Rupi Kaur poem, or a poem from my high school journal that I wrote, okay? So we're going to play a little game, and you're going to guess, is it Rupi or Sarah? Welcome to Rupi or Sarah. It's a hit game show in America, too. All right, first one, Rupi or Sarah? Behind your eyes lies the deep aspiration, wanting to cut your soul like a knife. Rupi or Sarah? That's the thinking music. Okay, did you make your guess? The correct answer is Sarah. That poem was written by Sarah Schaefer when she was 16 years old. All right, here we're going to do it again. Rupi, famous poem, best-selling. Millions of copies sold. Rich person. Rupi, or non-poet, 16-year-old Sarah Schaefer. Perhaps I don't deserve nice things, because I am paying for sins I don't remember. Rupi or Sarah? Do, 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 do. Okay, what did you guess? If you guessed Sarah, you were wrong. It's Rupi. It's Rupi. Rich person Rupi. She got rich off of that poem. This feels very mean, but I cannot hold back the hatred in my heart. All right, Rupi or Sarah? 16-year-old Sarah or adult, successful poet Rupi? Taming the wild opinion of innocent, untouched minds creates extreme amounts of heat. Rupi or Sarah? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. If you guess Sarah, 16-year-old Sarah, you are correct! How are these different? How are these different in quality? Am I too dumb to know what poetry is? Am I so, or was I a fucking brilliant poet and didn't know it? Okay. Rupi or Sarah? I could do this all fucking day. Rupi or Sarah? If you are broken and they have left you, do not question whether you were enough. The problem was you were so enough. They were not able to carry it. Teen Sarah or Rupi? This is a tough one. Do, 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 do. Time's up. It was Rupi! What the fuck? All right, we're going to do another one. Here we go. Inside, it's like the yard, cluttered with dead leaves. You say, clean it up. I say, raking is too hard. Inside, the church bells ring, reminding me of the time. It's too late. Teen Sarah or Rupi? Teen Sarah, did you get it right? How many points do you have? I'll do one more. I am going back and forth. I realize that. I'm not making it very hard. I'm literally going back and forth between a Sarah poem and a Rupi poem, but maybe you've discovered that pattern. I didn't. I'm going to read one more. All my fears look like you. You sleep within all my sleepless nights. Stretch into the spaces. I shrink inside. That was Rupi, of course, because I went back and forth like an idiot. Again, I'm not good at tricking you guys. All right, final question. This is a tough one. And don't think you know the pattern, okay? Here we go. Rupi or Teen Sarah? I've scribbled word after painstaking word over you. What is it that you do to me? I do not need the kind of love that is draining. I want someone who energizes me. Rupi or Sarah? Do, 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 do. What did you guess, Rupi or Sarah? Trick question. I combined a Sarah poem and a Rupi poem. Did you hear any difference? Was there a shift in skill and quality? No. And I'll leave it up to you to figure out which lines were hers and which were mine as a teen girl. I don't know if I'm angry that I never became a successful poet because clearly I'm that good, or if people think that the Rupi poetry is good poetry. I don't know. I don't know the answers, but that is crazy to me that I can barely discern. I'm sure if somebody typed up these poems and mixed them up and gave them to me, I wouldn't know I wouldn't be able to figure out which ones were mine and which ones were hers. I wouldn't be able to remember. I'd be like, well, that seems like something I would write as a teen girl. Anyway, no offense to Ruby, but give me some of your money. Oh, I love poetry. I love poetry. I love all art, let's be honest. I particularly love performance of any kind. And I've been missing, you know, as mentioned in previous episodes, like, I've been missing, you know, some of the great entertainment that we had from America One that really made you think. There was this movie I saw in America One that I think about a lot, and it was called Annihilation. And it starred Natalie Portman and Jennifer Jason Leigh and some other people that I don't remember their names. But it's about these four, it's like a sort of sci-fi thing. And it's these four women that go into this thing called the Shimmer, which is like this weird, you know, metaphysical phenomenon that's happening on the southern coast of Florida in the swamplands. And it's like destroying, you know, they've sent all these people in military or whatever, and they never come out, and it's getting bigger, and they're thinking it's going to destroy the earth or whatever. And so you're like, is it an alien presence? You know, what is it? And Natalie Portman goes in, and I won't give away any spoilers of the movie, and what I'm going to describe to you really doesn't spoil anything, because it is a little bit of an obtuse movie where you're just like, what the fuck is happening? Like, it's kind of confusing. But if you can accept that, it's actually a very beautiful, I think, really well-done movie with a lot of interesting themes. But anyway, at the end of the movie, there's this scene where Natalie Portman sort of interacts with this, I don't even know what I would call it, a wormhole of light and fire, you know, and colors and shit. And she looks into it. She's like looking into the abyss. And I guess the abyss looks back at her. And suddenly there's this thing. And I found it fucking terrifying. It was like a metal, clay, iridescent body, alien thing that was like sort of mirroring Natalie Portman. But it was a slightly different shape as her. But it was all, it didn't have a face. Oh, faceless stuff. Yuck. No. Anyway, it was really creepy. And they're mirroring each other. And they're doing, it's sort of mimicking her. But it's also suffocating her at one point. She's fighting it. And I won't say what happens after that, because I wouldn't want to spoil it. But I was interested. I really enjoyed the scene. The sound and the music that was playing was really intense, and you were totally immersed in it. It was a pretty long scene and very climactic. And like, you're just, I mean, I had to like close my ears at one point because it was so loud in the movie theater that I was like overwhelmed by it. But I think they wanted you to feel it on this guttural level, the guttural, visceral level. Guys, I'm good at words, as you can tell from my earlier poetry that I read you. Anyway, and it was just this really intense sensory overload, and it kind of stuck with me for a few days, and I went, and but I wasn't sure what it all meant, so I'm not going to lie, I'd read some articles, so some of this stuff is not original thought on my part, but I read a thing that was really interesting. They pointed out that, in a way, if you look at it, this scene was symbolic of the struggle against your own self, your own self-destructive tendencies, and the way your whether it's depression or anxiety or just your negative self, that keeps you down and suffocates you, and it's this dance you're doing. And I wasn't surprised to find out at all that it was actually choreographed by a famous choreographer named Bobby Jean. And it was, I love when dance is incorporated in subtle ways into other forms like movie or TV, and you may not even realize you're watching dance, but it was choreographed by someone who knows how to use like the human body to express something inexpressible with words. And I thought it was such a powerful scene and very well done. I'm sure there's a lot of people who thought that movie was garbage, but I really enjoyed it. And there was fear, there was beauty, which was all part of it. And I loved that the characters were all women, and they went into this thing not because they were, oh, we got chosen by Uncle Sam for this suicide mission. Let's get her, boys. You know, it wasn't like that. It was like each person was choosing to go into the Shimmer, which, why did they call it the Shimmer? I thought that was obnoxious, but they chose to go into this unknown, this suicide mission for their own personal reasons. Each character had a reason for going in, whether they had nothing at home, they were searching for something, they were escaping something, they were, you know, I just loved it. Anyway, it reminded me, it was interesting how literally that same, right around that same time, I also was watching this show called Room 104. And it was a show on Netflix, and it was produced by the Duplass brothers, Duplass. I'm sure they have a specific way of pronouncing it, and I'm not doing it correctly. The Duplass brothers produced it. And if you're not familiar with the Duplass brothers, they also had this show called Togetherness. And one of the Duplass brothers is just one of the main characters in the show Transparent. And they kind of have this sort of the Duplass brothers, Duplass, God damn it. What is your name? Duplass brothers, the D-bros. I'm just going to call them the D-bros. And I know it sounds like I'm saying douche bros, but I definitely don't mean that because they don't seem douchey. These guys, they would produce the type of material, they have a tone about them, a voice to them that I would describe as like delicate comedy, you know, like delicate comedy or like melancholarious, where it's sad, but it's funny too. And they have this sort of twee, just sort of a gut emotion kind of thing, but like, oh, but we're quirky too, you know? And I like that stuff. There's actually a Duplass Brothers DBZ, and you are allowed to live there if you are in fact a Duplass Brother. Or if not if you're a fan of them. That's not what it means. It means you are the type of person that would be in a Duplass Brothers production character. So if you're just sort of a kind of quirky girl who's like weird but also funny and like, oh my God, I'm just weird. but I'm just like awkward and also like I was abused. You know, like there's also like a real sadness underlying all of it. That's the type of person that gets to live in the Duplass Brothers. If you're a delicate comic person, if you're a delicately funny person, if you have a sweetness to you, but also a dark edge right up against it, that would make you eligible for that DBZ. I definitely wasn't one of those. even though I think I am, but I didn't think they saw me that way. I want to make sure, you understand, like, there's also, sometimes there were DBZs based on, like, personality type, ideological affiliations, ethnic stuff, but there was also these sort of, like, weird other places that fit a certain type of person. So there was the Duplass Brothers DBZ, there was the Coen Brothers DBZ, which, if you're not familiar with Coen Brothers, they made movies that I would put in the category of, like, their genre was quirter, which is quirky murder. The Coen brothers, of course, famous for Fargo, No Country for Old Men, quirky murder, just like, or The Big Lebowski, you know, just like quirky murder and violence, but with a handlebar mustache to make it homespun American too. It's hard to put your finger on it with words, but you know what I'm saying when I say Coen Brothers, right? So there was a Coen Brothers DBZ, and again, you were allowed to be in it if you were in fact a Coen Brother, or if you were the type of person who belonged in a Coen Brothers movie. So if you were sort of a pregnant cop from a random small town in North Dakota, then you would probably get in there. If you were a guy, you're just sort of these mythical, weird, but very mundane people who also got mixed up in murder or some other hijinks, then you were allowed to be in the Coen Brothers DBZ. Very strange, very small DBZ. There's not a lot there. Has a real 70s vibe, color tones, really beautifully lit. Excellent use of negative space and darkness. I'm like literally describing Coen Brothers cinematography. But anyway, I just want you to know how much I know about film. Now, I always wish there was a Merchant Ivory DBZ, but there wasn't. I looked it up. I think I belong in that DBZ. Now, if you're not familiar with Merchant Ivory, the Merchant Ivory was a production company originally. Actually, I didn't know this. They originally, until I looked it up, they were started as a production company that would create English-speaking movies out of India and export them. And they sort of... but they were most famous for their movies that were like sort of Edwardian England, like A Room with a View, Howard's End, Remains of the Day. You know, they cast Helena Bonham Carter before she became a Tim Burton character, which I think, of course, she was many Tim Burton characters. But did she marry him? I don't know what she did, but she became a real-life Tim Burton character over time, and it was very strange to see, because she'd be walking down the red carpet, and you'd be like, oh, honey, like, this isn't Beetlejuice. This is a normal Hollywood event. But I love her. I absolutely love her work. Anyway, I was obsessed with Howard's End, okay? And Remains of the Day, A Room with a View, like, just Edwardian England, like, and Duplass Brothers, Delacomedy. Coen Brothers, Quirky Murder. Merchant Ivory, I would give it its own word. I'm working on it. I've been spitballing some. Torture Romance, where it's tortured romance. That sounds like two different words. I don't like it as a portmanteau. But Tragenteel, that might work. Tragenteel would be tragic genteel. So it's sort of like people who are very caught up. I can't say my emotions because I'm a butler. I don't know how to get out of the manor. Don't look at me. I'm not crying. You're crying. Like, it's just, that's a Merchant Ivory film in my mind. And I loved them. Emma Thompson, you put Emma Thompson in something, I will watch it. Although, be careful. One time, when I was living in New Orleans in America One, a friend of mine gave me a VHS tape, which, yes, that dates me somewhat. But he gave me a VHS tape. I was really depressed, and he was like, oh, my God, you should watch this movie. It's called Wit, starring Emma Thompson. And I thought, oh, wow, this is what I need right now. A movie called Wit, starring Emma Thompson? This is what I need to cheer me up. It's her going to be... you know, saying witty, delightful things about love. You know, she's going to be being all droll on screen and probably in a period costume of some kind, being just the glorious queen that Emma Thompson is. So I pop it in. So turns out Wit is not at all that. And it's a movie about a woman dying alone of cancer. She's literally in a hospital. She's giving a monologue to camera about how she has no one in her life and she's dying. And it is truly one of the saddest things I've ever seen. And I watched it when I was really down and it made it way worse. And I was ugly crying to the level of where like my face looked deformed at the end of this movie. I looked like I had like elephantitis. And my face was all fucking swollen because I was crying so hard. So anyway, just so you know, if you're scrolling through your old collection that you managed to bring with you to America 2, and you're like, Wit, Emma Thompson, huh, this sounds fun. It's not fun. It's not fun. Still very good. I mean, Emma Thompson can't go wrong in my mind. I mean, let's talk about her scene in Love Actually. When she realizes that he has been cheating on her. I mean, and they're playing Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell. It is a brutal. Anyway, love you, Emma Thompson. And I love the Merchant Ivory world. And I wish there was a DBZ. I was ready to become an Edwardian. I would have been a housemaid. I would have done any of it. Sure. A housemaid who falls in love with the driver the man who drives the car. But we can't be together. Because our families would forbid it. We would just exchange fleeting glances across the room. And my bosom would heave in my dress. My boobs would be built up with a corset. It would really look good. Anyway, I always think about Howard's End. First of all, loved Howard's End. If you've never seen Howard's End, check it out. Howard's End is my fantasy. The house. The movie is about this house, and obviously the people involved in the world of the house. But like, it's this beautiful house, and it's like just your classic English countryside cottage. It's just phenomenal. But anyway, there's a scene in the movie where a sort of genteel character, a man, like goes nuts and like hits someone and the shelf falls. And anyway, I always, that character, that like rich guy that goes crazy and like just like loses his, is a very composed, dapper man, wealthy man, or an aristocrat, maybe a little pasty, maybe he's always had a wet nurse, you know, someone like that, losing his mind and accidentally killing someone with like a cane or a croquet mallet, you know, just like, mother said it was mine, and then he goes nuts and he accidentally kills someone. You know that character? It's like a character type. It's hard to explain, but I always thought Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, was that type, you know, really pasty, spoiled rich boy who is a man child. And one day he just goes nuts because his wet nurse said, Matilda said I could have two biscuits. And then he like goes berserk and accidentally cracks her skull open with an umbrella, you know, that's just Jared Kushner's look, and I think his personality. Anyway, we all know what happened to him. So what's happening at the cabinet? Well, speaking of Howard's End, I've embarked on a mission to create a bluebell forest. Now, there's a beautiful scene in Howard's End where one of the characters is walking through a bluebell forest. And he might even be, is he reciting a T.S. Eliot poem during this? Why am I thinking that? I think I might have just imagined myself doing that with I don't know, I'm mixing up stuff. But anyway, he's walking through this forest and it's just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And I want to create, because I have a lot of forest around me, a lot of woods, I want to create a bluebell forest, like a carpet of blue flowers in late spring, and they're bulbs, and I have a few that I got off Drone Mall, and I'm gonna try to make it work in the spring. I would love to just walk through a forest. I should probably get like a really long dress. I should just create my own Merchant Ivory DBZ. Maybe that's what I'll do, and I'll, you know, I might have to give up my loner zone status if I start inviting other people, but I could somehow maybe get in touch with Emma Thompson somehow and see if she wanted to come and live here. Of course, also Hugh Grant was in several Merchant Ivory films. He was in Remains of the Day and Maurice, as well as others probably that I'm not remembering. Loved Hugh Grant. I mean, beyond Merchant Ivory, he was in About a Boy. He was in Four Weddings and a Funeral. He was in Notting Hill. He was a very big guy for me growing up. I had his picture. I had a picture of him in my locker at school, which is really weird looking back on it, because I watched Notting Hill later in life and was like, this is who I was like, thought was the hottest guy. Like, what? What a dweeb. Anyway, no offense, Hugh Grant. Anyway, that's what I'm working on at the cabin, is figuring out how to make a bluebell forest, a carpet of bluebell flowers. And I looked it up. There's actually a native species to Virginia, which is, it's actually called a cowslip, but it's just it's a similar flower that sort of hangs down and has little like bell-like flowers that are blue and purple and just, ooh, Can't wait. Anyway, I'm going to go try to write some poetry and see if I can, you know, become an Insta-poet of my own making. I guess there's no Instagram anymore and no way to get famous off of it, but at least I could have my own book of poems here that's a bestseller for me. Okay. Goodbye.